Find your way in your scriptures there. And as you open up to Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read that Great Commission because I want to bring a couple of things to light out of the Word of God there. And then I want to present to you a little bit more understanding of who we are, Southern Baptists. You see, several weeks ago, we entered into Baptist Operating System 3.0. And through that, we began looking at the distinctives of what it means to be Baptist. Now, what it means to be Baptist and what it means to be Southern Baptist are not identical. Now, we carry our roots from the Baptist heritage, understanding some of the things that we've talked about. So, soul competence means that you stand on your own two feet in front of a holy God, that you are not judged by your mommy or your daddy or your brothers or your sisters or your cousins or even the church you go to, that when you stand in front of God, you're standing in front of your master, and it's to your own master that you stand or fall. So we talked about soul competence. We talked about the autonomy of the local church. And when we talked about that, remember, we said that the local church, consider it like Baskin Robbins ice cream. There's a lot of different flavors. Some are flaky, some are fruity, some are nutty. But they all come together in a store called Baskin Robbins, and you get to go in there and you get to see the different kinds of ice cream. In the churches that God has created, that God has built and established, that are Baptist churches, there are very many different kinds, different styles of churches. And to some churches you can go to, and in the midst of those churches you can find worship that is indeed in inclined toward praise and worship, that's inclined toward contemporary, and worship that's inclined differently. Who's doing right? Who's doing wrong? Listen, if you're doing what the Lord has led you as a church to do, you're fulfilling His commands to you, His teachings to you, and following that in the way that He's prescribed it. That goes back to the autonomy of the local church and the priesthood of the believer. We talked about all of these different things and various other things as well. And now today we start with cooperative program, and we start with this video. How does that link together? If you're in the great, in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, begin with me in verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain with which Jesus had appointed for them." How many went? 11. Were they doing what Jesus told them to do? Were they doing it together? They were. All 11 went. All 11 went together. All 11 went to where Jesus had told them to go. Verse 17. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Now, what you need to understand is that God can even take care of your doubts. Thomas was the one that we're referring to here, and God took care of his doubts in the midst of meeting with Him as well. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." What's the deal with authority? Well, that is the right to do something. That is the privilege that has been granted. That is the honor that's been bestowed. And it's the power that's been equipped. And so the authority that Jesus is talking about here is His authority. And He's equipped His disciples with this authority, speaking to the 11. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, here it is, verse 19. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me ask you this question. Who is Jesus talking to? Who is Jesus talking to? The disciples. You're absolutely right. And within that group of disciples, is He talking to Peter? Is He talking to John? Is He talking to each one of these disciples individually as well? Or is He just talking to the mass 11? And the mass 11 then becomes... Soccer is an amazing sport when you play it as a six-year-old. Have you ever watched a soccer game with six-year-olds out there? It's amazing, because with six-year-olds out there, you got this cloud of dust, and there's a ball somewhere in the middle, and this cloud of dust goes all over the soccer field. You've seen that, right? And so they're there, and they're kicking and going all over the soccer field, cloud of dust. Where's the ball? I don't know. How are they going to score? I don't know. They usually don't. But here they are. Well, if it's just to the 11, then they become that cloud of dust just wandering around together all over the world, because He told them to go all over the world, right? How in the world is a cloud of dust of 11 disciples going to go all over the world and evangelize as He told them to? They're not. So as He's telling them, He's telling the group collectively, but He's also telling each one individually that you have this prescription from me, and that's to go all over the world, and that's to make disciples, and that's to baptize. And that means that ministry for Peter is going to look different than ministry for John. That ministry for Matthew is going to look different than ministry from Peter. All of the ministries that each one of these disciples enter into as they go out is going to be different. Peter had a problem with this when Jesus came up, put his arm around him as they were walking by the lake, and Jesus told Peter that you're going to be led where you do not want to go, and basically you're going to lay down your life for my sake. Peter understood that. He looks ahead. He sees John walking in front of him. He says, what about him? If I'm going to die for you, shouldn't he die too? Jesus basically said, it's not the same ministry, not the same calling, not the same life that I called him to live, that I called you to live. You live the life I've called you to live. Go feed my sheep. It's going to look different. Ministry for each of these disciples is going to look different as they live the life out that God's called them to live. Collectively, it's the same charge, but it is a different ministry altogether. And so this ministry that he's called them to live, he's also called you to live. He's called you to live it individually as you walk in the world that you are walking in. But he's also called you to live it collectively. You see, there was the joining together of these disciples. They came back together at different points of ministry, at different workings of God. And you find them in Acts joining together in the ministry several times. Get you to log that in for me. And you find them joining together in the ministry several times. And the same thing's true for our church. Our church is also a group of different people, but at the same time, God's called us together. And the same thing is true for churches. God's called churches to work together. What makes one Baptist church different?
So I see this old friend from out of town, and we...
from another Baptist church. Good videos. The way we do things, where we allocate our monies that you give us, how we reach out to the communities that surround us. And then collectively, when we join together with other churches, we then must be centered on something different than the way we do things. And what we're centered on is those dynamics, those distinctives that we've talked about over the past 7 weeks. And that's how come a nutty church and a fruity church and a flaky church can work together. How come one Baptist church and another Baptist church can work together. And I want to show you how that looks as we join together and through this thing called the cooperative program. Many of you are sitting there, you're going, what in the world is the cooperative program? You just saw the short video of it. I hope it makes more sense as we go through this. Of course, our foundation for it is the Great Commission. And what we just read is individuals receiving the commission, and they're going out individually, but yet they're working together collectively as well at different points and places within the ministry. And so that's what we do through the cooperative program. Not every Baptist church is a Southern Baptist church. Not every Southern Baptist church works together in the same way. But ultimately, what brings us together as Southern Baptist church is we see that we have more in common than we have in difference with each other. We see that we can accomplish more together than we can apart from each other. And so as God has called you to go into all the world, you can't go into every part of it yourself. It would be fun to try, but as you join with others collectively, we can reach more of the world together than we can apart. And so we're trying to fulfill the Great Commission in the efforts that we are working in. So what is the cooperative program? It is Southern Baptists working together to support mission ministries at home and around the world. Bottom line, the cooperative program is missions. It's not monies. It's not what you're giving. It's not how much you collectively give together. Now, monies do support these ministries that we're talking about. They do support these missionaries that we're going to talk about. But ultimately, the cooperative program is about missions, and it's about working those missions and those ministries at home and around the world. So how did it begin? The Southern Baptist Convention began in 1845, and it began to send Baptists as missionaries both home and foreign. And so individual churches and mission societies supported through limited missions and institutions with the limited resources that they had. So individual churches were beginning to join together to help support this cause of missionaries. And so what began to form from that was the cooperative program. The cooperative program took its root with a $75 million campaign to provide consistent support without the missionaries having to visit each and every church. That's a huge point. A huge point in that video was either missionaries are going to have to come and they're going to have to try to raise funds, or they're going to be spending their time doing ministry. Which would you rather see them do? I'm not saying either one is completely wrong or right, but I'm simply saying that as a missionary, I would rather be digging the well or equipping the people on the field and doing whatever it is God's called me to do. And so in 1925, the cooperative program launched. Every church was challenged to give 50% in 1925 to enable the cooperative program launch to take place. Here's the point. Gifts don't go to the cooperative program. They go through the cooperative program. The cooperative program is like a funnel. As your gifts come in, they go out. They're sent out to the different agencies, the different ministries, and different mission works around the world. And so as we look at this, you're going to see how that takes place as these gifts go through the cooperative program. It works like this. The money you give goes into your church's budget. When we pass the collection plates around, that's not so that you can give money so that it can come into a bank account so that I can drive a BMW. I don't drive a BMW. If you want to buy me one, that's fine. But that's not what your money does. Your money comes in and it takes care of the lights and the carpet and the pews and the maintenance to the building around us. But then what we as a church do is we decide that we're going to tithe as well. And so what comes in, we're also going to send out to ministries and missions around the world. And so we don't even keep it all here, but we tithe and we send it out as well, and we send it out through the cooperative program. And when it comes into the church, part of it goes out of the church to the cooperative program. And you decide what that part is. You as a church, when we do budgeting, and we're right now doing budgeting for this next year, you decide. This is what we want to bless to go forward. And so that is also part of your calling. So how does it work? The church determines what will be used locally and what will be sent through the cooperative program. And the Florida Baptist State Board of Missions then begins to look at what we sent. And you'll notice it says 58% stays in the state of Florida, and 43% of the convention's budget goes out of the state of Florida. But that doesn't quite add up. It's supposed to be 57%. So 57% stays within the state of Florida. That's a typo. And 43% goes out of Florida to the SBC causes. You'll see a breakdown right here. And this breakdown right here simply gives your church's giving over here on the left side. And when you look at your church's giving over there on the left side, you'll see State Convention Cooperative Program. You'll also see the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. When we take up the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, follow that yellow line all the way across, and you'll see that everything of the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering goes to the International Mission Board. Makes up 54% of the International Mission Board's operating budget. But you'll also see, if you follow the black boxes across the top, that each state gives between 14% to 57% of the state's cooperative program dollars to the International Mission Board. To the 50% goes to the International Mission Board, 50% goes to other causes. Now, each state gives between 14% and 57%. How much does Florida give as a state to the International Mission Board and to the other causes? As a state, we give 57%. Why do some states only give 14%? Because in some states, they don't have very many resources. They don't have hundreds or thousands of churches. Some states such as North Dakota, some states such as Maine, some states where the gospel light is dim when it comes to Baptist causes, they don't have very many resources to enable a large gift to the National Southern Baptist Convention. And so therefore, they don't give as much as perhaps Florida or Georgia or Alabama or the buckle of the Bible Belt. And so you see from that breakdown that money comes in, it goes out, and it goes to the International Mission Board, and it goes to other SBC entities. We'll look at those entities in a minute and let you see what those are. And so what's accomplished here? What's accomplished in Florida with the cooperative program dollars? The estimation is this, is that Florida is 77% lost. That if you were to take 10 people, 7 plus out of those 10 people would be lost. They don't have a walk with God. They don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they've never trusted in the fact that He died to forgive them of their sins. And they're walking through the state making their decisions based on what? Themselves. And so if 77% of Florida is lost and we're trying to affect morality through legislation, what's going to happen? It's not going to happen. But if you try to affect people by simply sharing with them the gospel, that's where you start seeing change in life. 77% is estimated to be lost. And so what's accomplished in Florida with this understanding is that we try to bring light into the darkness. And so campus ministries have trained over 1,251 students in evangelism just last year. As your students go off the campus and they join in college campus ministries, that training takes place through the BCM's Baptist College campus ministries. And so reaching college students and campuses with the gospel is one of the things that takes place. What else is accomplished through the Florida, through the cooperative program dollars? Well, we prepare churches for ethical and moral issues. We should not be silent on the issues of the day. Where abortion is involved and divorce is involved and drug use is involved and whether or not you should legalize marijuana and the fact of the matter that entertainment is continued to be degraded through the influences of Satan and all of those things. We shouldn't stay silent on those. But how do we speak soundly? Well, the Ethics, Religious Liberties and Ethics Commission helps us understand some of the foundings of the arguments that should be formed. And that comes back to Florida through the agency of the cooperative program. So what else is accomplished in Florida through cooperative program dollars? Involving church members and volunteer missions and ministries. I just looked at our church council this week and I said, guys, we need to be praying. Where is it that God wants to send us on a mission trip? What country should we go to? What local area should we minister to? All of those things are questions that we need to ask, but all of those things are also things that the cooperative program helps local churches to do. What else is accomplished? Well, you've heard of disaster relief. Disaster relief goes into places where tornadoes have hit or hurricanes have hit or floodwaters have risen. Goes into places where people just need help. And the cooperative program dollars is what puts tires on those trailers and chainsaws in them so that we can go in and help with the manpower that God has also given us. What else is accomplished? Well, when you look at the educational institutions that we have the Baptist College of Florida located right here in Florida. That's a good name for it. We have the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, and the best one, Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We have all of those seminaries. You say, they're not all located in Florida, but your cooperative program dollars sends people from Florida to those places of education, and like the video showed, they get a lot of funding so that they're not paying back student loans until Jesus comes. Your money that you give through these offering plates, that some stays here, some goes to cooperative program, sends students to seminary. You enable that education to take place. What else do we see? Well, we see that in addition to the ministers and missionaries. Our colleges have educated many laypersons that serve in our churches. What else takes place? You see the Florida Baptist Witness, the Florida Baptist Children's Home. We're going to have a representative from the Children's Home come soon. They're entering into areas of ministry that are just amazing. They've always been taking care of the orphans, the defenseless ones in the state of Florida. But they're also now entering into rescuing people from modern-day slavery, rescuing people from the sex trafficking trade, and giving a voice and a place of equipping for those also defenseless ones. Disaster relief and recovery, we've spoken about. Women's ministries, Haitian church development missions. We have Haitians coming to this country right and left. And God has so positioned Florida and Florida Baptist that we are having a ministry and a harvest amongst the Haitian church, amongst the Haitian people through the Haitian church development ministries. Of course, there's Lake Yell and Blue Springs Conference Center. All of those things are also accomplished here in Florida. But your dollars don't stay here. They go beyond. And when you look beyond, you see that we evangelize the nation of the United States of America with 5,500, also Canada, with 5,500 missionaries right here at home through the North American Mission Board. And worldwide, what we also see there is that we evangelize the world through the international missionaries in over 156 countries. If you will, take out your pamphlet that's in your bulletin. I want to give you a breakdown real quickly of that pamphlet. If you will, turn to the page that says 30,500,000. 30,500,000 is at the top of that page. This is for you to take with you. That's why it's in your bulletin. Pretty good planning there. And you'll see 30,500,000 Southern Baptist causes, 43% of what comes into Florida goes out to the Southern Baptist causes. The Florida Baptist Convention causes 57%. You'll see that breakdown in the pie graph over there. But what I want to show you is below Southern Baptist Convention causes, because of that 43% that goes to the Southern Baptist mission causes, you'll see that the International Mission Board brings in 50% of, if you have 43%, that forms its own pie. So 43% forms its own pie. Of that new pie, 50% goes to the International Mission Board. 22% of that 43% goes to the North American Mission Board. Six seminaries receive 21% of the funding. You can read the rest of it. You say, what's happening through the cooperative program? Your ministry is happening through the cooperative program. And so you and your church are reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a few more slides. I'm going to skip through these real quick. If you can look, you can see. Just read what's going on. Train and equip Florida Baptist churches to reach the 77% lost. Encourage and motivate Florida Baptist church leaders in their evangelistic efforts. Each one of these details are reported through what's going on, through the monies and the manpower that God's given us. And so what's your part? Number one, pray. What did we discover last week when it came to the tongue? That you have the power and ability to control it? No. You don't have the power and ability to control your tongue because you can do nothing apart from Christ. All this giving's good and great and fine, and the division of it's well thought out, and the intent of it is there. But if we're not seeking God and doing what we're doing, we're just a business. But if we're seeking God and saying, God, what are you leading us to do? And then we reflect to what He's already told us to do. And then we realize that He's already told us to reach the world and that He's empowering the ministry because of the authority that He's vested. And let's reach the world. But that happens on a level that can't be measured physically, monetarily, or spatially. That happens on a level where God's power is demonstrated spiritually through a redeeming effect So commit yourself to prayer for our mission involvement and for our work in Florida and in America and around the world. Give. Respond to God's goodness by giving of yourself and your money. God wants both. He wants a package deal. He wants you. He wants yourself. And He wants all that you own, because you realize when you give Him yourself that you now don't really own anything. But He owns it all. So pray, give, and go. As we pray through where we might want to go on missions, I pray that you join us. I pray that you go and become involved as a volunteer in some type of mission project. But you don't have to wait till we go to Cuba or Iceland or India or wherever. You get involved right here and now. Miss Fela, you've been involved in local missions all these years. You changed Benji Tuggle's diaper. And a lot of other honeys. But you also changed a lot of hearts. And by your hands of love and your care and compassion, you've been involved and you've been changing people's lives right here in the midst of the culture and community of Central Baptist Church. So what's your role in it? Pray, give, and go. Look back at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Bring these out real quick. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, previous to that, in verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell My brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see Me." If you go back, Jesus gives the command at the discovery of the empty tomb to rejoice. If you go back, Jesus... There's always something to do when you're listening to Jesus. You see, that's the point. There's always something to do when you're listening to Jesus. Whenever you turn a deaf ear to Jesus and you say, "I don't want to hear anymore," and you do that whenever you want to just simply live in yourself and live in your own space and time and ignore what God's call on your life is. But when you turn your ear to Him and you open your ear, there's always something to do when you're listening to Jesus. And it's to be done by all authority. Verse 18 spells that out, is that you're not doing it in your own strength and with your own effort and with your own agenda. But if you're listening to Him and following Him, then you're doing it by His authority. And let me ask you something. Who is the greatest authority the universe has ever seen? Well, the universe saw His authority when He spoke. And by the spoken word, matter came into existence. And all that mattered was created. That's authority. Scripture says He holds everything together. Everything. That's authority. And all that authority has been given to you when you hear what God has called you to do. It's done by His authority, and it's done in the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things." Lord, I can't do that. I'm not a teacher. You haven't equipped me. You haven't given me the power and the effect. Well, yeah, I gave you the power. I just told you that. But I'm not only going to give you the power, I'm going to give you the presence. And it's going to be My presence. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Always. When are you somewhere where Jesus is not? If you're born again and the residence of the Spirit of God has taken up refuge in your life or taken up a place of existence in your life, where do you go that the power of Jesus is not? Nowhere. Nowhere. Done by all authority and in the presence of Jesus. So here's the question. What have you heard Jesus tell you lately? We just heard of big directives that the Florida Baptist Convention has taken up. Big directives that the Southern Baptist Convention is working on. Missionaries all across the world and in our country. Seminaries and colleges training and equipping. But I want to make this more pertinent to you. What in the world has Jesus told you lately? Yes, God works through the whole. He works through the Florida Baptist Convention. He works through the Southern Baptist Convention. But He does also work through the one. He works through the Peters and the Johns and the Matthews. And He works through you. And so you can't just hide within a big church and say, I've given my money, I've done what God's called me to do. No, that's not what relationship's about. Relationship's about coming in front of a holy God and saying, God, I'm listening. I want to know what You've called me to do. And then responding when you've heard the voice of God. Say, well, how do I hear from God? How in the world do I hear what He has to say? If there's always something to be done, and I've not heard from Him lately, and so therefore I'm not doing what He's called me to do, how do I hear from Him? You start with worship. He's enough. He is enough. And you start with that understanding that, God, if all You give me is Your presence, that's enough. If all You give me is Yourself, that's enough. And you begin worshiping Him. Look at back at verse 17. It says, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him. You begin engaging and encountering God on His terms and looking to see Him. And when you see Him, you begin worshiping Him. And when you begin worshiping Him, realizing He's enough, He'll give you more. He who has more will be given. When you start with worship, you're walking in that relationship. What have you heard Jesus tell you lately? I pray you start seeking, because He's got something to say. And He'll use you in just as mighty of a way as He'll use the whole. And I want more of Jesus. How about you? Listen, go ahead and stand with me today. I hope you understand better what's going on in the life of the cooperative program, the Southern Baptist Convention, the Florida Baptist Convention, the missionaries, the seminaries, all of those things combined. I hope you understand better what it means to be a Southern Baptist, that we have these distinctives, and as holding these distinctives, we walk closer together in unity because of those, and we can do more together than we can apart. Oh, that's great. And I hope you walk out of here understanding that more. But I also hope you walk out of here today understanding that God wants to use you. You. Let's pray.